Good. Back to verse 9 then. Yes. One of the seven angels. Which seven angels was it there? The seven angels had the seven bowls. Right? And they turn up in chapter 17. So there's a contrast between what the angel shows here and what the angel shows there. So if you just go back to chapter 17, you won't have to look up too many now. It's all right, don't worry. 17 verse 1 says, one of the seven angels, I'm assuming it's the same angel, it could be different, but it sounds like it's the same. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute. Yep. So he first shows John the punishment of the sinful woman, right? And then we see in chapter 21, he says, now come, I'll show you. What's he going to show her?
The bride,
the wife of the Lamb. So a bit of a contrast, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think he probably preferred his second job to his first. Yeah. So the bride, the wife of the Lamb. You know, it's about Jesus, isn't it? Of course. But what's the bride?
The church.
You're right. You sure now?
Yeah.
Hmm. It's people, is what I'm getting at. Yes. But I've got a problem with the word church. It sounds a terrible thing, but I do have a problem with the word church.
Messianic community.
It's a community, messianic community. Yeah. The word for church in the New Testament is the chosen ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's people. It's not buildings. And the problem with the use of the word church we've got is we think of buildings.
Yeah.
And it's not just an assembly. I mean, that's important. Yeah. William Tyndale, you've heard of him, one of the translators.
Yeah.
When he translated the Bible into English, he used the word for church, he used the word assembly, which is a very good word, but when King James's lot decided to get translating it, they used Tyndale's translation basically, but whenever the word assembly turned up, they changed it to church, because officialdom didn't want it going into an assembly, it was a church, right? But the word assembly is a good word, but it doesn't quite get what we're after, because the word means chosen. The elect, or that's the word for it, eklektoi is the Greek word for it, but it means the chosen ones. Yeah, and as you said, it's a community, but it's the messianic community, it's the believers in Jesus is what it's about. So that's the bride. Yeah, okay, we've got the bride now, and the interesting thing about this is quite interesting, this little chapter is, although we're told it's a person, we're also told it's a place.
Yes.
She's a bride. But he then shows him,
mm-hmm.
the holy city. It's a place. That's interesting, isn't it? Don't you think so?
Mm-hmm.
Why does he change the wording? We mentioned it last time, mm-hmm. from a person or a community to a place.
Because it's showing a different aspect.
It's a different aspect, yes. That's true. But there's another little reason as well. And it's this. None of you are omnipresent. You knew that though, didn't you? Yeah? You have to be in somewhere if you're going to be anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? And the somewhere is the place, the New Jerusalem. Yeah. So that's where you're going to be. It's the people and the place as well. Yeah. You've got the idea. Right. Okay, so on to verse 2. We've got really lovely this. He carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high. So he carries him away in the spirit. He's got a mountain top view. Where's the mountain? It's out there somewhere. he's looking at the world in a sense from a mountain. Well, that's quite something, isn't it? But anyway, whatever it is, the thing that's important about this chapter is how much of it do you take literally and how much of it is symbol? Because there's a mix of all sorts of things. We've just had a symbol, bride and city.
Yeah.
You know? But we'll get a few more as we go along. But he's carried in the spirit, and basically what happens is that God's taking him up and back so he can look at all of this with a big clear view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the thing I'd like to draw out of this, it says he was taken up in the spirit. Yeah.
I think he was dead though, weren't he?
No.
His body was dead.
No, he was just, I think his body stayed where he was.
Yeah.
On the island in Patmos.
Yes.
But his spirit was lifted up
yes.
to see this vision, and he was just showing it all. in glorious cinematic photography and all that sort of thing.
In mine it says the spirit took control of me.
Yeah.
The angels carried me to the top.
The angels, well, right, okay. Well, whatever it is, he's got a fantastic view of all of it. That's the point. He can see it all. Right, so he can tell us what it's like.
Yeah.
But the thing I want to draw out, which is what I was trying to mention there, is he says he was in the spirit. And again, I really need to emphasise this. You and I will never really understand anything of what the Bible says unless the Holy Spirit shows you it. He's revealing. That's what he's doing for John now. He's taking him to a good place to see, but he needs the Spirit's eyes to see it anyway. So he's going to see this amazing picture. Right. So he said, he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So the bride turns out to be a place as well. It's a city. It's the new Jerusalem. Not the old one, it's the new one. And it's coming from where?
God.
From God.
Yeah.
He's the source of all the blessing and everything, Right? And where's it going?
Down to the earth.
Down to where?
Earth.
To earth. Which earth?
The new earth.
The new earth. Right, okay. Yes, the new earth, right.
Not the road.
Not at the road. It's coming from God, and it's going to come onto the new earth. This new Jerusalem, it's the new, well, the new heaven and the new earth. The new Jerusalem comes down to earth, and this is its final place. No more moves. We're not going to be up sticks and moving anywhere else. Once you've got it, the new heavens come down to earth. Yeah, so this is the final glorious bit, right? So John sees this, right? Verse 11. Yep, he says, it shone with the glory of God.
Wow.
Yes. Now, I think he probably needed special lenses for this. again, you know, it's the Spirit who helps you to see and grasp this incredible, glorious thing. It shone with the glory of God. Have you heard about the glory of God before somewhere? In the Old Testament, it's called the Shekinah. Now, you think about it, but we'll be talking about it in a little while, but in the tabernacle, there was the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, and that was partitioned off by a curtain, and then there was the next bit, which was the holy place, and in the holy place they had a candle lampstand, so you got the light from in there, but in the most holy place, there's no light. So how did the the chap see what he was doing? The high priest went in and he could see. Because the glory of God was lighting it. Right. The Shekinah, we call it. So the light was shining. And in this view that he has here, this city is absolutely glowing. He says it shone with the glory of God. He's talking about the city, not just some little spot. You know? The whole thing's shining. And he says it's shining like a crystal, a precious special jewel called a jasper. A clear, does anybody know what jaspers are?
Jasper.
I noticed you all said jade as a translation.
Green.
They're normally green. But obviously John's referring to some crystal that is pretty clear. It may be slight green tinge or what to it, I don't know, but anyway, it's pretty fabulous lighting, isn't it? So the whole city's shining with this amazing light. I just want to suggest something to you, and I can't prove it basically, but it's a little comment that I came across from a guy called David Pawson. You've heard of David, haven't you? Well, he has a few interesting things to say, right? One of the things he says is this. I don't know if you can prove it exactly, but the stones that we'll be coming across in the foundation, and the word jasper, these are all gems that have a special structure, right? The technical term is it's anisotropic.
You knew that one.
But the thing about it is, when you shine light through it, unlike a diamond isn't anisotropic. It's just it's a pure crystal that's the same in any direction. But with these stones, these gems, you shine light through it, the light just goes off all sorts of places. So, and the interesting thing is that all of these stones, if he's correct, although you probably notice in some comments in some Bibles, it says the exact identification of these gems is not entirely certain. But if we've got the names right, well, these are anisotropic gems that just light all over the place. It's not bad, eh? So God can pick his stones, you see, that's the point he was making. That's the right, yeah? So it's absolutely sparkling, right? So he sees all of this, right? Then verse 12. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, with 12 angels at the gates. Right. So it has a big wall. Yeah? What were walls for? Protection. Or what are walls for?
Protection.
Protection.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's the symbolism of it, I guess, yeah? Mm-hmm. It's a place where you will be
safe.
Safe. Protected. Right, okay. Secure. That's good, yeah? It's got 12 gates.
Yeah.
We'll come to the gates later on, yeah? Mentions that. And it says they've got 12 angels at the gates. What are they up to?
Make sure you don't get in.
Make sure you what?
You don't get in.
No, I'm just thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Just guarding, speculation. Yeah. They are guards,
yeah.
Right? But guards can serve two purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And keep
yeah. They keep out the riffraff,
yeah.
And they let in the posh ones.
Yeah.
Right? You're allowed in. They're the welcoming committee. You say we're going to see the angels at the pearly gates.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So it's the welcoming committee is what I'm saying there.
Yeah.
In the book of Genesis, when the tree of life was being blocked by God so that they couldn't get near it, it says he set up cherubim with flaming swords. So he put angel guards to keep them out. But here they're not keeping people out; they're letting you in. Yeah, they're on the doors, yeah. So these are the doormen. Very good, eh? Okay, now then, verse 13. We've got a very interesting little bit here, verse 13, which says, oh no, I'm not quite there, am I? There were 12 gates, and on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Ah, that's why the 12.
Yes? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Well, what about that? If you go to Ezekiel 48, this is one of those extra references, yeah? Ezekiel 48, verse 31 to 34, he describes the city there. Ezekiel, hang on, Ezekiel, what did I say? 48. It's right near the end of Ezekiel, verses 31 to 34. 48. Right. He has this very similar vision, although, where are we going to pick it up from? Let's have a look.
How about verse 30?
Good verse, yeah. These will be the exits of the city. Well, they're entrances as well, you realise, yes, yeah. But beginning on the north side, which is 4,500 cubits long, the gates of the city will be named after the tribes of Israel. The three gates on the north side will be the gate of Reuben, the gate of Judah, and the gate of Levi. On the east side, which is 4,500 cubits long, there will be three gates. The gate of Joseph, the gate of Benjamin, the gate of Dan. On the south side, which measures 4,500 cubits, there will be three gates. The gate of Simeon, the gate of Issachar, and the gate of Zebulun. And on the west side, which is 4,500 cubits long, you notice it's square.
Yeah.
Right. There will be three gates. The gate of Gad, the gate of Asher, and the gate of Naphtali. And the distance all around will be 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that time on will be The Lord is There. Right, so this is where God's staying. Right? And he describes that, he says the gates have got names. Right. Yeah?
Tribes.
The names of the tribes. What's interesting?
It goes in the square.
It does, yeah.
Two tribes are not there no more.
Now, that's interesting, yes. I would put it another way. I would put it another way. The tribes that are there are the original ones.
Yeah.
Right? Because Joseph was split up into two, Manasseh
and
Ephraim. Yeah? Right? And Levi's included. Yes. So it's back to the, when you, if you look, read Genesis, you see when the boys were born.
Yeah?
That's their names. The 12 boys that were born are those. Yeah? But later on the 12 tribes get numbered in different ways, because Levi's taken out to be the priesthood, and the Joseph is split into two.
Yeah.
But this is the original version.
Right.
Yeah. I think we're back to the original.
Yeah.
I just thought maybe for Dan fell away from grace too much.
Well, Dan's in there.
Yeah.
Dan's on there.
Yeah.
The name Dan?
On Revelation 7.
Oh, Revelation 7, the number's missing there. Dan's missing there, yes.
Missing there, yes. Saying,
so. I don't know why Dan was missing in Revelation 7. No idea. But he definitely turns up the end of Ezekiel, and I assume what Ezekiel's describing is what John's describing on a glorious scale, yeah? Yeah, okay, so we got the 12 tribes anyway, whatever names you want to put to them. Yes, okay. And what's the meaning of all that then? They're back to the original tribes, of course, as I'm suggesting, but there. What's the meaning?
144,000.
Well, no.
Where God started, like the foundation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, Israel's included in that. This is Israel.
Yeah.
But it's Israel with, like we say, the chosen. Yeah, not just the nation, but the chosen people out of the nation and out of the rest of the nations, all part of it. Yeah, so Israel's got his names in. Yeah, that's important, bit, yeah. Okay, and I'd like to suggest, like Gwyneth suggested, is where it all started. Jesus said something to that woman when he was standing at the well in Samaria. It's in John chapter 4.
Yeah.
And she was saying, "Do we worship in this place or that place? You Jews worship in Jerusalem, we worship here." And Jesus says, "Believe me, my love, the time's coming when you won't be worshipping here or there." He says, "But I'm telling you this, salvation is for you worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews." Well, that's telling you, the gate's in, the way to get in is through the Jews. Yeah? You've got to be in the tribes. There you go. Right, okay, then on we go to verse 14, I think it is. We've done that now, haven't we, yes? Yeah, all the gates from the different places. Yeah, verse 14. The wall of the city had 12 foundations. Right. So it's got foundation stones, and on them are the names of the apostles of the Lamb. Yes? Now, isn't it interesting? They're called the apostles of the Lamb. Do you know why?
The
gentle. They're disciples. They're not just disciples, they are Jesus' apostles.
Yeah? Who's going to take Judas? So was his name?
He's not Judas.
So who's going to be?
I'd like to suggest Paul.
Oscar.
Yeah, Matthias was voted in. Yeah. But I just think Matthias was also ran. He was a good lad, I'm sure. Anyway, anyway, it doesn't matter who the names are. What's the symbolism or the significance of the fact that they're the apostles of the Lamb? Is that Jesus is the centerpiece? Yeah, he's the important bit that makes them worth anything.
They're going to be sitting on the thrones.
Well, they'll be around, yes. They'll be about, yes. Yeah. What I'm getting at is, it's in Ephesians chapter 2 and other places, verse 20, it's Jesus is the foundation. He's the real foundation, and all the rest build on that. Yeah. So the apostles of the Lamb get their apostleship from Jesus. And why is he called the Lamb?
The Lamb of God.
He's sacrificial, yeah. You're in there. Do you know why you can get through the gates? Because he paid the price. That's it, yes, good. Right. And so we see, in this city, the gates have got the names of Israel on it, the foundations have got the name of the apostles on it. That's Old Testament, New Testament, isn't it?
Yeah.
It means it's a combination of all believers all over the place. Yeah, we'll get to that. It tells that a bit later on as well, okay? But it's one assembly, yeah, in the one city. Yeah. So verse 15, we come to a good verse here. The angel who talked with me, nice having angels talk to you, isn't it? Good. Yeah. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. So he's got this flexible measure, tape measure, it's a gold rod. Yeah. The thing, is it a real gold rod?
No, because gold's not flexible.
It's not. It doesn't need to be flexible. It's a rod. But it's what I'm getting at is it's symbolic, because this rod is going to have to measure how big the city is.
Yeah.
Right. And you'll see the city is enormous. His little old rod will be used all day long, and 3 weeks later he'll go back. I'll tell you how long it is now. Yeah.
He made the boat. You could borrow it off Noah.
Well, no, he didn't even know, no. Anyway, he's going to measure the city, right?
Yeah.
He's going to measure the gates. We're not told about the gates in any measurements at all.
No.
Yeah, but he's going to measure them, yeah? And he's going to measure the walls, right? So, Why does he mention about measuring them? Ezekiel had that as well, you know. He had to measure, or an angel measured things, and he had to write down the numbers. What's the idea of measurement?
I think he's got bigger, isn't it, in
the new... The new one's massively bigger. Yes. I mean, 1,400 stadia is a bit larger than 4,000 cubits by miles.
But it's in this room for everyone,
people. But why measure? Why measure? It's just a thought. I'm just... God's good at numbers. I like that. That's a good one, yes. Yeah. But the thing, you know, just think about it. Our world is very sceptical, you know. If you can't measure it, it isn't real. Yeah? That's the way they say it. You can't measure it, it isn't real. Well, God can tell you, you can measure this one, it's real. Yeah, it's real. But however, what real means, I'm not sure on this one, because it's enormous, as you'll see. Right, so let's have a look. Verse 16, we're told, the city was laid out like a square. Yeah, we've got that bit, yes? Right, we'll pick that up in a moment, yeah? But it's laid out like a square, and... as wide as it's long, that's what a square is. The city, he measured the city with the rod. Now, as I tell you, this is going to be a long rod, because he found it to be 12,000 stadia in length.
Yeah.
And 12,000 stadia is 1,400 miles, give or take an inch.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah? It's as big as Europe. Yeah? This city is as big as Europe. That's some whopping city, isn't it? Yeah. Right, now then. It's got a square base. We'll pick up that in a minute, yeah? But it's got a square base. Yeah? But it also says, he measured its length and it was as wide as it, as wide and as high as it is long. Now then, he says it's square, 1,500 miles that way, and, or 12,000 stadia. Do you know, you can spiritualize numbers if you really want to, yeah? Can I give you the spiritualized version of the numbers that I read in the commentary? It was really nice, yeah? Yeah? 12,000 is 3 times 4 times 10 times 10. Yeah? Right? 3, Trinity. 4, the world. Right? 10 times 10, massive. Right? So God, the Trinity, has ruling over the world in a massive way.
Yeah.
I spiritualized it. Yeah. You enjoy that? Good. Anyway, whatever it was, it's long, it's big.
Yeah.
But he says it's as high as...
It's long.
Now then, what does that mean? Is it a pyramid? Because you can have a pyramid that's as high as the base.
It's a cube. It's many rooms.
Right.
Many rooms, so there could be...
Many rooms. I've been reading my notes. I've got that there. Right. Right. Yes. Right. Okay. Right. It's that high. Is it a square? Is it a cube? Or is it a pyramid?
It's not a pyramid.
It's not a pyramid.
It's square. Shape of it,
right. Why would you suggest that it's a cube?
Because it's the same in every direction.
Same in every direction? Well, unless you go diagonally, and the diagonal is bigger.
Yeah, but don't tell you
good. Probably have a stab at why it's not a pyramid.
Well, it could be Egyptian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. No, but there are good reasons for saying why it's a cube. Let me suggest the good reasons.
Yeah.
If I took you back to the time of the Israelites coming out of Egypt,
yes.
And God gave Moses the instructions on to build the tabernacle,
yes.
Yeah? If you look at the structure of the tabernacle, I said that there's the Holy of Holies, that's
yes.
got the no light bulbs in,
yes.
Right? And then there's the other bit,
yes.
Yeah, that's got the light candles and the bread and all of that thing in there. If you look at the Holy of Holies, what shape is it?
Square.
It's cubic.
Yeah.
It's a cube,
yeah.
Right? And then if you go to let's take you to this one.
Oh.
If you go to Solomon's temple, that's 2 Chronicles 3, 8. 2 Chronicles. Thought your fingers were getting a bit needing exercise again. No. 2 Chronicles 3, verse 8. Where's Chronicles? Here it is. Yeah. 3, verse 8. This is Solomon when he's in the process of getting the temple. Built. Verse 8 should say he built the most holy place, Holy of Holies, yeah? Right? Its length corresponding to the width of the temple, 20 cubits long and 20 cubits wide. Now it's bigger than the tabernacle, right? The tabernacle was 10 cubits, yeah? So the temple of Solomon is bigger, right? But it's still square base, and if you measure the height, it's the same height. It's a cube. The Holy of Holies is a cube. Yeah? You got that? So what's that mean? It's getting bigger every time. It's getting bigger every time. By the time we get to Revelation, the cube is 1,400 miles. Yeah? That's big. And as Taffy has told us, in my Father's house, our many rooms, you could get a lot of rooms in 1,400 miles going that way, and up. Now that's going to require some serious engineering.
You have to look at it like this, because in the beginning, when the first tabernacle was done, there were not as many people on earth.
Well, it was planning for it already, you know. But
he knew all about what was
there. Yeah. But whether there's going to be a building that high, I don't know. But if it is, if the New Jerusalem is as big as that dimensions, and they're not just symbolic, yeah, right, it means you're going to have to move around fairly quickly, doesn't it? But the good news is, and my wife was talking to a minister the other day, and she was shocked to discover he didn't think that believers would fly.
Oh, yes.
He hadn't thought about it. I don't think he didn't believe it, he just never thought about it. But do you know you're going to fly?
Yeah.
Are you sure now?
Yeah.
Give me a verse.
You'll think of somewhere when you'll be there, won't you?
Transport from one place to another.
Philip was, yes. Yes. Yeah, but now I'm thinking for all of us. That was Philip, yeah?
But when you say fly, do you mean with wings or without
wings? No, you don't need wings. No, you won't need wings.
Right.
Thessalonians, he says, when Jesus comes back, the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. You won't get up there unless you can fly. Yeah? Right? I don't know how you're going to do it, but gravity does not matter anymore. Yes? If Jesus can do it, you'll be able to do it. So, if this building is as literal as it could be, right, you can get from the top to bottom, no trouble. You'll be alright. I don't know. But
let me know where you're going to be.
Does this mean that when this square is full, God's going to call time?
Time's been called already.
Well, is he going to call the final time? To bring Jerusalem down to earth?
144,000.
When Jerusalem comes down to earth, it's populated, it's the bride, it's populated by the people who've come to Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All people who come to Christ, Jew, Gentile, Aborigines, you name them, you know. Yeah. We'll see. We've got some more. We've got a bit more of that in a moment. Yeah. Verse 17. We've got a wall now. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I've just read that verse.
Yeah.
So I'm on to verse 17, wrong verse. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using.
Yeah.
Right, so the angel is using the man's cubit. What's a cubit, do you know?
Yeah.
It's a cubit, it's from your elbow to your long finger.
Right.
It's 18 inches, yeah. Give or take.
It depends on
who it is. Right. But you should know they use standardized measurements. Yeah. Right. They wouldn't let you go using different measurements because you could cheat somebody that way. Well, they had fixed standard measurements. But anyway, he's using the measurement, a human measurement, for the wall. Yeah. So that's rather strange. Why should the angel use a human measurement to get the size of the wall?
Because humans are there,
yeah. It gives you some idea of what it's like, yeah? Right, okay. Now then, question again. It measures it at 144 cubits, which if you read various readings, will say 200 feet, or 65 metres.
Thick.
Now, is that thick or is that high?
Thick.
It doesn't say?
It says high.
It says high and it says thick. It depends on how you read the word, yeah?
Yeah.
If it's that thick, it's going to be high.
Yeah.
And if it's that high, it'll have to be thick. So, you can't win. You can't lose. So, yeah, right. It's a big wall, but it's not as big as the city.
No.
Right? But it's the idea is security and protection. What do you need protecting from?
Nothing.
You need nothing. No. But it's conveying. I think that's the symbolism. It's conveying something. You are safe.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But conveying that nothing bad can get in and nothing good can
that's
get out.
Well, we get to that, yeah. That's at the end a little bit, yeah. Okay, now then, verse 18. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah.
That's all shiny light stuff again, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's transparent. Have you ever thought of a wall that's transparent? It's like going to Ocean World or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
You're looking inside and seeing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's shining with all this light. The city's of pure gold. Yeah. Why pure gold?
Because
that's
perfect.
Perfect. Strong. Strong. Well, gold. No, gold's quite soft, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Value,
it's the value, but I'd like to offer you this as a suggestion. I was thinking about it. Yeah. It's not the value of the metal. It's the value of the qualities the metal has.
Yeah.
It's beauty.
Rare,
it's beauty. It's well, if you've got a city made out of all this, it won't be rare anymore. In fact, you've heard the joke, haven't you? I must tell you this one.
Mm-hmm.
About the man that was, Celia's earlier. Do you want to tell him it?
No.
You
tell it much better.
Oh, dear, no. Anyway, this man, he was quite wealthy. And one day, the angel turned up to him and says, you better put your house in order, because you're going to die tonight. He said, no. He said, yes, happening tonight. So can I take anything with me? No, you can't take anything with you. He says, well, could you put a word in for me just to find out? So he went off and he came back and says, well, you're allowed. You can take a bit if you want. Yeah, but I wouldn't bother if I were you, but you can. So he got his suitcase together and filled it full of gold bars. Yeah? And back to his bag. And then he died. And he finishes up at the pearly gates there for the angel. Right? And he's got his suitcase with his gold bars in. And the angel says, what are you doing here? He says, well, I was told I could come here, you know. He said, well, what you got with you? He said, well, just a few things, you know. He said, well, will you open your case, please? I've got to see what's going in here. You just can't bring any old stuff in, you know. So he opened his case, and there it was full of gold bars. And the angel says, what on earth have you brought paving slabs up here for? See? It's good, isn't it? There you are. Anyway, there you go. That's the old joke. There's nothing like an old joke. Verse 19. The foundation of the cities, of the city walls, were decorated with every kind of precious stone. In fact, there are multiple stones to form the foundations, we see. There's a series of 12 coloured stones. Imagine the colours of this thing, don't you? Right?
A bit like your sweater.
And remember, these stones, in groups of three to make four sides, yeah? These stones, three stones, is going to make a distance of 1,400 miles. These are big stones, right? Okay. But the interesting thing about them is that they're all very precious stones that send out light, but they also are what we're told here. They've got different names.
Mm-hmm.
Jasper, sapphire, chalcedony,
emeralds,
yeah. Sardonyx, carnelian, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprase, jacinth and amethyst. You know some of the colours, don't you?
Yeah.
But I've got news for you. The colours of gemstones isn't natural to the gemstone. It depends on what the impurities in the gemstone is that makes what the colours are.
Yeah.
So you can have red sapphires and blue sapphires.
Yeah.
See?
White
and white sapphires, can you?
Yeah.
Right, okay, I'll take your word for it, yeah. I don't collect them, so I wouldn't know. But, yeah, all these different coloured stones, quite amazing, yeah? Right? Imagine the light effects of those, eh?
Oh.
Beautiful, right? Okay, so, it's a beautiful scene, and it wasn't just John that saw it. Again, you know, the Old Testament prophets were given an inkling of what was going on, and if you look in Isaiah 54, verses 11 and 12. Sorry, Jean? Well, there you are. We'll see, yeah. I said 54, didn't I? Yes. 54, 11 and 12. Oh!
It's not that gate. It's a gate. It's an actual stone, isn't it? A gate. You think it's a gate?
Yeah.
No, it's a gate. It's a stone.
Like a big face.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get to this. We'll get to the gate in a minute. Yeah? Oh, afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will build you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with sapphires, I'll make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stones. And all your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace. Mm. Yeah, how about that? Yeah, so Isaiah got some idea, didn't he?
John was only recognising some of what he could see, but other ones he didn't recognise, so he couldn't say.
he wrote what he was told, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a real important truth in that. How do you describe the indescribable?
Yeah.
He's trying. He's doing all right, yeah. But yeah. Okay. Where have we got to? Verse. We've got to the gate. Oh no! Just one more little thing. I wanted to just suggest. These precious stones with the names written on them and so on. They turned up in the Old Testament as well. I don't know, but the high priest, he had his ephod thing and the special. What do they call it? Breastplate. Yes. Yeah. It had a series of 12 stones. With the names of the tribes engraved on them. Mm-hmm. Again, yeah, so, you know, it's something precious. They belong to the Lord, yeah? Okay, verse 21. We're doing well here. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. So basically, it's a big sheet of pearl that makes the gate.
Oh, a pearl?
A pearl.
Pearl, got it.
Right?
Not a pearl.
Well, it's a pearl that's got pretty big, yeah. I would suggest, yeah. An enormous, yeah. Pity the oyster that had to make it, yeah. But they're symbols, I'm sure there's things about that, yeah. But one suggestion I read, I think it was really nice in many ways, you know, the stones are all natural formations, but a pearl isn't a natural formation. Do you know how a pearl is formed? It starts from a little irritation in the muscle oyster, and it covers it with chalk effectively, and it just builds and builds up to this big thing. And I said, when you get a gate sized pearl, it's a big pearl, right? But the lesson that someone drew out of this is that the little irritations have now been turned to glory. The things you go through can become something of glory in the end. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, there you go. That's an encouraging thing for you, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. Right. So where have we got to now? Right. The street. The street. Verse 21. It is the street. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. So it's reflective and maybe transparent as well. It's almost like walking on glass, I should think.
I've heard that if you melt gold enough,
yes, it becomes transparent. Yeah, but that's thin. You won't be able to walk on it. Yeah. Unless you could fly. Yes, that's right, yes. Physics does different things when you get to heaven. That's right, yeah. Okay. It's beautiful. Anyway, that's the idea. It's a beautiful, beautiful place, yeah? That's home, dear friends, do you know that?
Yeah.
It says in Peter, we're looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness. What a verse that is, the home. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, verse 22, good verse this one. I did not see a temple in the city. Do you know why?
Because
you
don't need one.
You do need one. I'm criticizing. Well, I'm
down yet.
Yes, no.
No, the Lord is the temple.
He didn't see a temple. He didn't see a temple, right? Because the whole place is the temple. It's cubic. Remember, it's the Holy of Holies. The whole place is the temple, right? And where's the light coming from? The Lord lighted up like He did on the little one. Yeah. Right. So you don't need a temple in the city because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. If God's there, it's holy. Yeah. Fabulous, isn't it? Yeah? So it's all temple, and the Lord's presence is there, and the Lamb is there. His glory shining out as the sacrificial Lamb. Yeah. So He's present as never before, and He's never going to leave. I thought I'd change the Lord's Prayer for you. Yeah. You won't pray the Lord's Prayer when you're there. You won't say Our Father in heaven. You say Our Father in heaven on earth. Because heaven's on earth now.
Yeah.
He's come to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, right, next, verse 23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it,
no.
For the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, no artificial lighting needed.
No.
Turn all the power off, you won't need it.
No, Bill.
You won't be pat testing then.
No, Bill.
The Lamb and the Lord are the lights. God gives it light. What's happening is we're going back to as it was at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning God made the heavens and the earth.
Right.
And the earth was without form and void. And God said,
let there be light.
Right. Did he make a sun and a moon then?
Yes. Not right away, did he? No.
On the first day there was no sun and moon.
No.
But it was light.
Yeah.
And why was it light? Because he's shining.
Yeah.
Right. And when you get to the end, no sun or moon, switch them off, because he's there, shining.
Don't need it.
Right, supernatural, God's the source. And Jesus, the interesting thing about this, I think it's a lovely verse, is it says, it says, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the source of light is God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jesus is the one who shines it out.
Yeah.
You want to see what light's like, you look at Jesus.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? Right, so, verse 24. The nations will walk by its light. How about that?
Yeah.
What's all that mean?
We don't need lighting.
The nations will walk by its light. You know what the word to walk is? When the Bible uses the word walk, it doesn't mean walking, just...
Walking with the Lord.
Sorry?
Walking with the Lord.
Walking with the Lord, yeah. It's about your lifestyle.
Yeah.
How do you walk? Yeah, it's your lifestyle.
Yeah.
How do you live?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the nations will live. They'll act in a way that's honouring to God by the light of God. Yeah. So, the world, that's worldwide, you know, nations, yeah?
Yes.
Right? And they'll walk, they'll live in his light. And then there's an interesting little verse here. And the kings of the earth will bring their splendour into it. So where do the kings of the earth come from then?
It's us.
It's us. Well, you could be kings.
Yeah,
but someone suggested, you know, it may be that with all this big city, with God ruling over it, he's still got administration going on.
Yes.
You know, there may be a few places for an old king or two to do a job, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll find out, won't we? Maybe we'll have Queen Bernadine there. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. You never know.
That's just
speculation,
isn't it?
Anyway.
Last shall be first.
Right.
Shall be last.
Anyway, there you go. The kings will bring their splendour into it. Yeah, but the lovely lesson of that is, I think it's a fantastic one, this. The kings of the earth will bring their splendour into it.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they are acknowledging God and his greatness and his goodness. They're bowing before him. Yeah? They bring their honour.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what the wise men did. You know, we call them kings, but they weren't kings. They were very influential and quite wealthy people, I suppose.
Yeah.
He says, they came to the place where the child was, they opened their treasures, they bowed down and worshipped him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what these are doing.
Yeah.
Lord, you are worthy.
Yeah.
Kings, if kings do that, so should we. Yeah?
Mm.
Right. So they're all praising the Lord. Right. And then verse 25 is a nice one again. Yeah. On that day... its gates will never be on no day will its gates ever be shut. There will be no night there. So the gates are never shut. There won't be any thieves to come in, yeah?
Right,
yeah. But it's, why won't they shut the gates? Why, when did they shut the gates on the city?
At
time of war,
yeah.
And at night,
yeah.
Well, there's no war, there's no night,
no.
So you don't need to close the gates. You can come and go in and out. Freedom. Jesus said that about his sheep, didn't he?
Yeah.
He says, I'm the shepherd, I lead them out. They can come and go free because I'm their shepherd.
What gates are we talking about? Inside the city or outside?
Well, I think we're at 1,500 miles, so I think you can stay in quite a long time.
The outside would be shut till
no
one has to come in.
Well, I don't know how it's going to work, but it's the idea of being a free movement.
Yeah.
Free movement of peoples is finally arrived, yeah? Now the EU have got nothing on this, right? Yeah, right. And there's no night there, right? There's no night there. Now that's rather interesting because God's light shines all the time. God's eternal, of course. No, that's the question. That's the point. I've written a little note here. We will need resurrection bodies for this because I need my sleep. Right? So on. If you're going to keep the light on, I'm going to need a new body to cope with this.
You never slept in the daylight.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah, I thought if I was tired enough, yes. Yeah. But we've got resurrection bodies, so we'll be able to cope, I guess, right? But there is no night. I think it's symbolic too.
Yes,
because throughout the Bible, John uses this term night and light as spiritual things.
Yeah.
There is no night, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing evil at all. There is no night there. Praise the Lord.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay? And then verse 26, we're told, the glory and honour of the nations will be brought into it. Mm. Right, so what the world was created to honour and glorify God, it finally does it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? But I've got a nice verse for you. At last, basically, what it's saying is, at last the nations will worship the Lord as he should be worshipped. Yeah?
Yeah.
Right? And I've got a nice verse for you. Isaiah 11 verse 9. And we sang the song already. Isaiah 11 verse 9. You know, Isaiah saw some stuff. And this was, what, 800 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah 11 verse 9. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's going to be full of him and his glory and worship. Yeah. What's a place! Right, last verse then, dear friends. Yeah, last verse, verse 27. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. Yeah. Finally, everything that's wrong has been removed. Yeah, and separated. Yeah, there's nothing ever that's wrong will get in. It's not allowed. It's out and removed.
Yeah.
And I just had a thought. I didn't pick it up in any commentary, so it's just my brainwave on this one. Maybe with the Lord's light, you never know. But this, the difference between nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful. I was just thinking, the impure is the idea of unclean. And in a sense, that can be seen. It's external.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing that looks wrong will enter in it, but anything that's shameful is on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing can, on the inside will be coming in either that's wrong. Yeah. So everything that's wrong is removed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so how do you get in? How do you get in? Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the Lamb, again, is salvation, isn't it? Yeah. It's all about Jesus having died for us, yeah? So, the name in the Lamb's Book of Life, whose name is on the list? It's the name on the list of all believers at all times, in all places, right? So Abraham's going to be there, Noah's going to be there,
all the apostles
are going to be there. All that time before, they're all going to be there that trusted in the Lord.
Right?
And then through the generations around the world, some precious soul today is coming to Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah? They're going to be there as well. We'll have a chance to get to talk to them. We'll need all the time to catch up, of course. But but they're all people from all places who put their trust in Jesus, all believers, will be there. And so I just want to draw this little bit to an end by saying that John was obviously absolutely overwhelmed by this, as we see in the next chapter. He's completely boggled by it all. But he's been told to write this down for these poor souls in his day, and maybe for ours in our day, folks who are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who are finding it really tough being a follower of Jesus because of the whole stuff that's coming at them.
Yeah.
And he's saying, get your eyes on this.
Yeah.
You hang on in. It's going to be worth it.
Yeah. Yeah?
This is what we're aiming for. This is where we're going to finish up. Praise the Lord. And then next week we will get into the river.
Oh, well,
can I
just come back to the gates
again? The gates, yes. Yeah.
In Revelation, it gives the order of things from the book of Numbers.
Yes.
It's a total different order.
Yes.
And in Numbers, Ephraim and Dan are definitely not included.
Yes.
Maybe because of
Well, yes. It certainly came in later,
They got replaced by, like you say, Levi and Asher.
Yeah. Throughout the Old Testament time, the different names that are given to the 12 tribes, there's always 12, but the variations are something quite interesting. And Levi quite often is left out because it's spread out through all of them. If it comes to inheritance, they're left out,
When I done the research, I just thought it's all in a different sequence of numbers. It's not in the same format as in numbers at all.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So I had to renumber them and highlight the ones that were missing.
Yes.
So Joseph and Levi come in, don't they?
Joseph and Levi come in, yes. Come yeah. Yeah. And it's, so therefore Manasseh and Ephraim are out because they're included under Joseph. Right. So there we are. We've done it. We've only one more chapter to go. And then you're completely qualified to be a total Bible student.
We're all going on then.
Oh, that's great, eh? Thank the Lord. What a prospect, eh? As I say, I don't know how much symbolic is and how much literal is, but I'm telling you, it's going to be good, whatever it is. Yeah? Yeah. Lord, your word tells us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived of the things that you are preparing for those who love you. And yet you say you're revealing them to us by your Spirit. Lord, what little we grasp, we want to say thank you for. Lord, we praise you. We can see something of the light shining even into this world now. We bless you, Lord. We're part and partakers of this amazing thing that you're doing. Lord, who are we? What should we be to deserve anything like this? We don't, Lord. We say all praise to you. Glory to the Lamb seated on the throne. Lord, we want to say thank you for making all this possible for us. And Lord, we just pray you help us to be faithful to you. Keep on trusting, Lord, to face whatever challenges this present world has to offer. Lord, because we know in the world that is to come, things are going to be so different. And we bless you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.